Cape Talk.
The US Report.
Adrian Bunny, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right, Abs. How are you?
Ah, absolutely fantastic. It is a Friday, after all, and thank goodness it is a beautiful Friday morning. But nonetheless, Adrian, let's get down to business and let's talk about the latest. McCain, diagnosed with cancer.
Sure. In a weird twist of fate, on the day Trump reversed his decision to let the health care bill go and he called for Republicans to disband Obamacare, Senator John McCain of Arizona was diagnosed with brain cancer. So the longtime legislator, war hero, and 2008 Republican presidential nominee has a glioblastoma, which is an aggressive primary brain tumor discovered during surgery to remove a blood clot above his left eye. A statement from McCain's office said that the 80-year-old senator is recovering at home in Arizona and considering possible treatments, of which there are few. It's a cancer that eventually killed the late Senator Edward Kennedy and former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Beau. And it spread like a web over the brain, usually leaving sufferers with 2 years to live. The diagnosis shocked the Senate, where McCain has served for over 3 decades. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and former President Barack Obama used the same words to describe McCain, calling him an American hero. And then, although Trump's initial response to Republicans' dissent on the Affordable Care Act replacement was to let Obamacare fail, he later insisted that they had to keep their promise to repeal the legislation. But a closed-door meeting of GOP senators Wednesday night led to no major advances, with both conservatives and moderates still uncomfortable with portions of the revised bill. So if Obamacare is repealed without replacement, an estimated 32 million people now are expected to lose their insurance.
Oh, my.
So bad news on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I hear that. And you also talk about the latest when it comes to the big man, Trump.
Yes. So the White House has confirmed now that President Donald Trump met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in a previously undisclosed second conversation at the G20 summit earlier this month. He held a private discussion out of earshot of other leaders just during a dinner event. Details of the hour-long talk are unknown. There's no official government record, and only Putin's translator was included, so no American translator. Trump tweeted that the press coverage of the meeting was, quote, sick, as questions about Russian connections continue to plague his administration. So I have a clip of Ian Bremmer, who is the source who leaked the information and the reasons he did it.
But, I mean, you know, given the fact, given how unusual the Trump-Putin relationship has been, how notably and consistently warmly both of these leaders have taken every opportunity to be towards each other, both publicly and, as we see, privately, the fact that you would have this kind of a meeting in front of all of these leaders, the first G20 summit that Trump himself had attended, with American allies already unnerved that their relationship, their private bilaterals, their phone calls with President Trump leads them worrying, can we really count on the United States in terms of NATO, security, global trade, climate, values, you name it, to then show that by far his best personal relationship is actually with a country that many of them consider to be an antagonist, and at least until Trump became president, the United States did as well. That's exceptionally unusual. It's disconcerting for American allies around the world. And it's certainly, I mean, despite the fact that Trump apparently just tweeted that it's fake news, it's a real story.
Yeah.
So, right, in related news, regulators are reportedly revealing hundreds of millions in loans between Deutsche Bank and Trump's businesses. The bank, which recently paid $600 million in fines for facilitating Russian money laundering, will likely be asked to provide information to the investigation into Trump's Russian connections during the 2016 campaign. Now, Donald Trump Jr. Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort, his former campaign manager, will testify before the Senate next week about alleged Russian meddling in the election.
All right. And then you talk about a glitch of global proportions. What's that about?
Yes, and this can affect you guys down there. So scientists had long wondered why satellite data showed sea levels weren't moving even as temperatures rose and ice sheets melted. But they found the problem, Abs, an incorrectly calibrated sensor in a spacecraft that had been collecting altimetry data since 1992. Now they have the accurate data, and it's not good. Sea levels are, in fact, rising at faster rates every year. So while researchers may be relieved to have pinpointed the error, the numbers look bad. Waters could rise another 30 inches over the next century. So that's going to put New York underwater. I don't know what it's going to do to Cape Town, but it's time to, I guess, start sandbagging.
Yeah, okay, we wait and see. Game of Thrones revives also history.
Yeah, so finally, one more for you, a fun one. Don't expect dragons and zombies, but the esteemed Harvard College will offer an undergraduate medieval studies course inspired by Game of Thrones this fall, with neighboring Boston College offering a graduate level one in spring 2018. Just the latest examples of similarly themed courses offered at American schools, ranging from Berkeley to Virginia Tech. So major academic houses have also been rolling out books of scholarly work on the Game of Thrones novels and the TV show, and more or less are likely to come when the George R.R. Martin Studies International Network, devoted entirely to the work of Game of Thrones author, announcing its formation next week during the International Game of Thrones Conference at the University of Hertfordshire in September. So scholars at Harvard and Virginia Tech have reported that Game of Thrones is the best recruitment tool for medieval studies and humanities courses since the Lord of the Rings trilogy hit theaters probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, the latest, Adrian, on O.J. Simpson. I mean, CNN is reporting that O.J. has been granted parole.
Right, so he's been granted parole finally Thursday after more than 8 years in prison for a Las Vegas hotel heist. So the 70-year-old Simpson, who was convicted in 2008 of an armed robbery involving his own sports memorabilia and dealers dealing it in a Las Vegas hotel room. So he could be out of prison as early as October 1st after serving the minimum 9 years of a 33-year sentence. Now, some say that this was an extra harsh penalty, that he was given 33 years, that it was sort of to kind of make up for the not guilty verdict he got in the murder plea. So it's really not surprising that he's been paroled. I think that anyone who watched the Oscar Award documentary, the 7-part series, would realize that this was just, you know, kind of one of those cases to make up for something else.
Certainly, you know how they say, you know, the higher you go, the harder you will fall. But yeah, anyways, Adrian,
this is true.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us this Friday morning. We chat again now on Monday. Do have yourself a fantastic weekend.
I will. You too, Ab.
Thank you so
much.
See you on Monday. Cheers. Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan, New York, to you.